I speak as a representative of my father, Avraham Soloveitchik's Talmidim, and his family, because I think one title Rabbi Shaul Hoffman was very proud of his whole life, that he was a Talmid of Avraham Soloveitchik, that was his Rebbe. You know, as everyone, my father had a lot of Talmidim, as everyone does. There's certain Talmidim that, you know, maybe learned in my father's shir, certain Talmidim who not only learned from the shir, really took all the Torah, wrote it down, learned it, reviewed it. Certain Talmidim also accepted my father's hanhagas. As Yeshua in the early 70s took upon my father's hanhagas, one of them being Yashan in the early 70s, was very difficult to be machter on Yashan in America. But he was different than most other Talmidim. Because not only did he learn from my father's Torah, my father's hanhagas, he understood that every movement of my father was Torah. My father was nifter at Levaya, my oldest brother, Moshe Soloveitchik, it's the question that in Parshas Mishpatim, when Moshe Rabbeinu went to Har Sinai, Torah tells us that Yeshua went with him to the Har. And Rashi says, Ma tivo shi Yeshua kan? What is Yeshua doing there? Brother explained that there are certain people that every anahag, every movement you can learn Torah from, what they do. They said, that was my father. And if that was my father, Yeshua Hoffman was like Yeshua bin Nun. He understood, and not just from the shiurim, not just from the asiyas and mitzvahs of my father, but there's so much to learn, and therefore he would watch and observe everything that my father did. Now, a few days after he was resuscitated three times, you can understand he was very weak, he could barely write, he took the effort to write on a board a few words on a page, and he basically went over my father's article, but a glimpse at eternity from a hospital dungeon. He spoke about my father, after his stroke, realized and understood and felt they had a neshama, and he said it was that emuna that enabled my father to continue for 18 years to teach Torah of all the difficulties. And he himself said that as difficult as it is for me now, I will follow the Rebbe's footsteps. And I will try to spread Torah and teach Torah as much as I can as my Rebbe. Because he went ahead and he learned from his Rebbe. I remember after my father was Nifter, as everyone knows, he had a website. It was Netvart. I remember he wrote an article, which I couldn't access today, but I don't remember exactly the Torah that he wrote. I do remember that he started off, as he always said, explaining his mood. He said, the mournfully hoffer. And he said, at that point, he said, he remembers, he says, many times his Rebbe, you know, would seem to be somewhere in another world. He was stinking. I remember talking to others, some of my fathers, and I said, like, I don't understand, but as the years pass, I understand, I see it. And this is something that he was able to see because he was a Reb Talmud of my father's who not only learned Torah, not only wrote the Torah down, not only loved and respected, but he understood that every movement he could teach something. And I will just conclude by his connection, mentioning the connection he had to all my father's Talmidim. Whether someone was a Talmud of my father from the late 1940s, or even a Talmud of my father in the late 1990s, in the year 2000, 2001, the last year of my father's life, he always felt connected. Because he looked at my father's Talmidim all as one family. I actually remember as a boy of 15 years old in the Beis Medrash. At certain times, I had to learn the Ran, a Tosfos, and Reb Chaim. It was very hard. And everyone called him Josh Hoffman. Now it says, he might have been 13 years older than me, but if you wanted to learn someone, need to learn something, he was always there. Remember his table in the Beis Medrash in Brisk, in Forest View Road. It was the second table from the back on the right. It was full, must have been 200 Sfarim all over the table. He knew exactly which sefer where it was. And then you'd come to learn with him. He would make a little room for you, him on one side, his friend, whoever it was, on the other side, and they would learn. And whoever it was, he was there to learn with. And this wasn't something which he only did in Brisket. I think about it now. I was a 15-year-old boy. He was 28 years old. And boys younger than me, anyone who wanted to learn, he would make time to learn. And when he moved on, when we left Chicago, went to Yeshiva University, the same thing, everyone was available to him. And, you know, it's funny that being a massive Talmud Chacham, a scholar, and people still refer to him as Josh Hoffman, as the Hoff. Like the same thing. And, you know, and now I think back, I understand, like, how could we refer to him that way? But I think the Gemara Maseches Brachos really describes who he was and how he saw what he's supposed to do. And Daf Yud Zayin on the Beis, the Baskol came out and said, Kol Olam Kulo Nizonim B'Shvil Chanina B'ni. That the whole world is sustained through Chanina B'ni. Chanina B'ni can teach everything for them. This is V'Chanina B'ni Dailo B'Kav Charuvim Me'erev Shabbos L'Erev Shabbos. People have a lot of fame. They move on to very important positions. And they, many of them learned, spoke, gained so much from the Yeshua Hoffman. And he was always the same for them because he saw his role as to be a friend, to teach those who wanted to learn with him. He was a massive, massive Talmud Chacham, but he always saw that he was Dailo B'Kav Charuvim. If he could learn, he could teach. Now, it wasn't just that he learned with younger boys, people who had to do research. He would do the research for them. He was a scholar. And he didn't need the credit. He was helping somebody. He was advancing somewhat the world and learning. That was what's important to him. That's why I think his whole life, people referred to him. This doesn't make a difference from the time he was very young till he was a little older. No matter how much he grew, how much he knew. People referred to him as opposed to Rav Hoffman, as Josh Hoffman, the offer, because he was always there to give to those who were my father's students, to teach, his friends, those who wanted to speak to him. He was always available. Somebody who, of course, we miss, because who will learn, who can we talk to? Ubila mavas hanetzach, nachshan damim al kopchanim.
Rabbi Yaakov Schwartz, the close he did to Rabbi Yeshua.
Shusha Yeshiva, Rabbanim, Chashvat, Amin, Chachamim, Chaverim, friends, Talmidim, of Harav Hagoan, of Yeshua ben Yosef Hoffman. I'm here not only as a friend, a Chaver, a Chavrusa, and I'll say a Talmid, but also as a representative of his brother and the family back in Rochester, who I had a chance to speak to see if I could offer a few words here on their behalf, because they knew they weren't able to attend. And when speaking to his brother, Tully, he mentioned a few points, historical points, that I think are important to mention here. As Rav Soloveitchik mentioned, Kishmo Kengu, he was truly a Yehoshua. He was truly a Talmud Muvuk of his great Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Sefer Tzadik Lebracha. The Lo Yomash Vipia Ohel, he didn't leave his side. I can remember in the days in YU, when I got to know Josh in the YU Kollel, at the Rus Kollel, and later, for many years, as a Rav, when I was on his Roshan side, my Shabbos Shir Chavrusa was Rabbi Hoffman. I knew if I wanted to prepare a substantial Shir, I could count on his breadth of tremendous knowledge, resources, Rishonim, Achronim. In those days, they were fax machines, in the old days. And he would fax me Mar Mekoimus to give both substance and beauty to the Shirei Torah. He introduced me to the writings of Kuk on Shas, Ayinaya, and many other things. And I'm tremendously beholden to him for that. But I remember how he sat by his Rebbe Rav Aaron in those last years at YU, when Rav Aaron was tremendously physically challenged. And he was there for him. He sat for him. And he made sure there was a shiur appropriate for his Rebbe to give. And that was the span of his devotion to his Rebbe that really spanned many, many decades. Also, I think it's important to mention that he spent time here learning in Eretz Yisrael, as his brother said. He didn't go only from Chicago to Yeshiva University and spend his life there. He was here for a number of years in Merkaz Rav Kook, in a very exciting time and a very exciting kufa in the development of Eretz Yisrael. And one knew Josh Bell, knew how the threads of Rav Kook's love of Eretz Yisrael and love of Am Yisrael, just love and appreciation of life, flowed through his veins, and how much Eretz Yisrael, not only politically, but also in terms of its Kedusha Sa'aretz, resonated with him and was very much a part of his essence. We said Kishmo Ken Hu. And I think about Josh, one particular Mishnah comes to mind. We say in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Yosef ben Ezer, Yosef ben Yisraida, said the following. He said, Ye beisfa, beis bad l'chachamim, ve'rizabik rafa ragleim, ve'shoseh b'tzomei estivreim. He said, let your home be the gathering place of the tzaddikim, of the chachamim, and sit by the dust of their feet, and drink in thirstily their words. Now, the Mishnah is not clear. In fact, if you contrast it to the following Mishnah from Yosef ben Yoezer Ishi Yushalayim, he speaks about b'nei beisfa. He says, yeah, ni'im b'nei beisfa. He speaks about a relationship with the wife. He speaks about a sort of more home-based vision. Someone who's in a home usually doesn't have afar beraglav. One removes the afar before one enters a home. So what is the Mishnah talking about? That you should be misavig the afar raglehem. In the bias, there is no afar raglehem. That's not the norm. And I heard a beautiful pshat that I think applies. Not everybody zocha to build a home in the classic sense. But the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is telling us that there are many types of homes. There are many types of bias. A bias is your mitzias, it's what's koveya you. Josh's bias was wherever there was a base bab l'chachamim. It didn't matter whether it was a private home. It really wasn't about that. The base medrash, the kolel, the yeshiva, wherever there was a gathering of Torah, whether it was an interesting lecture about Torah, wherever there was a place where Torah ideas were being shared in a creative and insightful way, wherever there was a base vad l'chachamim, that was his bias. That was his true bias. So although he may not have had a bias in the classic sense, the Pirkei Avos gives like a shpanka, gives a rousing commendation for those who are zocha to build their life around the mitzias betoch vad l'chachamim. And ba'afar ragleim, wherever they were, he followed them. I think he went to the Rav in Boston many times for Tisha B'Av and for the keynotes, which was a really remarkable experience. He would come with his notebooks. Everybody knows Josh's notebooks. He had this very terse handwriting, a very cryptic almost handwriting. It was filled and filled with pages, and he would pull out a notebook from nowhere. These were the Rav's notes from 70 this. He truly was an oitzar. He was an oitzar mole schoirishol Torah. That's what it means. He didn't just take in the Rito. He didn't sit and learn. He drank it in with a gusto, with a verve, with a chias. So I'll just mention three ways. The Hafer was his name. Those who followed him, at least in the years that I was on his Rav Ocean side, he used to write a column every week. I don't know if you recall. And every week he would find a different way of calling himself the Hafer. I don't know if you remember that. He would send out these emails, hundreds and hundreds of Divrei Torah, all beautifully written. This way known as the Hafer, that way known as the Hafer. So it occurred to me, Hafer in the Torah could appear based on its nekudos, hey pei resh, a couple of different ways. Number one, Hapur. There was a sense of humor about him. It was an acceptance of his goral, of his poor in his life. He had many yisurim, but there was not suffering from his yisurim. You didn't see it. His, I'll call it, impish sense of humor, clever sense of humor, rabbinic sense of humor, always shone through. There was never a sense of bitterness. There was never a sense of sadness or looking at his lot, his poor in life, as something negative. Adarabba, it was a mesameach, that an incredible sense of humor that lifted people's spirits. You could either learn with him or be lifted by his humor. Those were the only two options. It was a truly remarkable friendship. The second is Hapar. The par is the Makom Kapara, Misa Sadikim Mechakrim. And he certainly had Yisurim, and he was Makabal Ben Be'ahava. And he was a punctilious Yerushalayim and Ovad Hashem, as he referred to. I heard about him by Yashan, what it meant to keep Yashan in those days, what it meant to keep the Chumras. And his brother said that he was Seder Kedushin for his wedding, and he was on the phone for about 2 hours with Rav Aaron preparing for the Seder Kedushin, every prat and every nidnud, whatever hakpada. He told me an interesting story. I think I'm going to share this. He said that, you know, Rav Aaron was very makbid on Eidim. I don't have to tell you. For those who knew Rav Aaron, to be an Eid for the Chuppah was hard to find an Eid. So he had a question about the Eidim. And he asked, and he told Josh, investigate. He called up a certain Rav from the Midwest who knew the Eid. And the Rav said, oh, that fellow, he was thrown out of the community because he was too makbid on halacha. So Rav Aaron said, that's your guy. That's the guy you want to be. Eid L'Kedushin. Mamash got thrown out. He got run out of town because he was too much. And that was Josh. He didn't follow his Rebbe. He lived his Rebbe. He was a chiyus of Rebbe. And his Misa should be a kapara for him because he was a great Yerushalayim. And because he did have a big hashpa on people to bring them closer to Torah Mitzvahs. I remember back in the day that he was at Lincoln Square Synagogue, Rosenbaum will tell you, learning on the telephone with students. They used to call it the homework hotline. He would go from Beis Medrash and Kollel Elyon, but it didn't stop him from going and sitting in Lincoln Square Synagogue on the telephone with Rabbi Kenny Brander at the time, tutoring young children in Chumash Rashi. For those who remember at the time, that was his range, to speak to a small child as beautifully and help them as he did to an advanced Kollel and Gaman. And finally, the last one is HaPe'er. He was a Pe'er. Wherever he was a Tachshit of the Beis Medrash. He wasn't part of the Beis Medrash. He was an adornment to the Beis Medrash. In fact, the first time they ever met Josh was in the sukkah of our dear friend, Choshev HaRav, Ari Khan, Shlita, very successful Talmud Chacham and author here in Eretz Yisrael. And I did not know who it was. He says, I want to show you something. And he schlepped me out to his sukkah in Bensonhurst in the day. And sitting in the sukkah was Josh Hoffman. And Rabbi Khan took such joy. And he says, look what I have. I have here in my sukkah something to show you. A Talmud Chacham, an intellectual, a person of letters, a worldly person, by the way, who completed all his work for a PhD. He's really Rabbi Dr. Josh Hoffman. And I believe, I think Rabbi Margolis was the subject of his PhD. Again, as a Yeshua, he was writing one about the great Rabbanim of the 19th century. That was his, to be a Yahushua. And it occurred to me that Josh could be summed up as Noi Sukkah. He was Noi Sukkah. He was a Dabar Shebe Kedusha. He was Tashmishe Kedusha. Wherever he was, he added a sense of beauty and joy and Pe'er HaTorah. And I feel privileged to have known him. And I apologize on behalf of myself and anyone else who will join me that wasn't there to be helping maybe in these last 5 years. I've been here for 5 years to encourage him to be in connection with him. So, Gebet Michila. And finally, I hope, you know, we say again the Shmoneh Esrei, Hafir Atzasam, Machshavosam. We need the good debate in Shemayim. Klal Yisrael, we all need people who will stand up for Klal Yisrael to say a positive word at these difficult times for Jews around the world. Hafer, may that be your name, also in Shemayim. You should see Eitzas Toivus, you should be a male Tzioshir. You should be continued to commit to us in your Schus, we, your Talmidim, your friends, and we should be Zotho to be a Skol Tzedek, and Herb Yomeinu Amen, in a time where Bila Shem Melavis, Mach Hashem is Dimal Kaponim.
To his son, our son, Yisrael Meir, Rabbi Yeshua's nephew.
אנחנו בארץ ישראל לא כל כך ראינו את הגדלוס שלו שהיה לו באמריקה, מה שהוא היה בישיבה, את התלמיד של רבאון ועוד, אבל משהו בתור אחיין, בתור ילד, בתור קצת בחור שהיינו מכירים אותו כמה ימים שמגיע לארץ ישראל. רבי יהושע נפטר בערב שבת קודש פרשת זכרמוס. שתמור מביא שביום כיפר קוראים בפרשת זכרמוס כדי שמי שמצטער על מי שעשנו דו ואביהו, אז נוי חנינה על כל אבינו יסור ובונו ונמי שמחיו. מבואר בזה שהם היו אנשים מאוד גדולים. התרא מגדירה, התרא אומרת עליהם שבכל ויהיה קודש. שתי דברים, בכל ויהיה וגם מקודש. האור החיים מסביר שהסיבה שנודו ואביהו נכנסו לקודש הקודשים, כתוב בפסוק, בקרבו שום לפני השם וימוסו. אז הוא מסביר שבקרבו שום לפני השם, הכוונה הוא שהם רצו להתקרב לקודש ברוך הוא עוד יותר ועוד יותר. וכל החיים, כתוב שהם היו שקולים כמו ישי ואהרון, כל החיים הם היו רוצים להתקרב לקודש ברוך הוא, עד שכשהקודש ברוך הוא בנה, כשבנו את המשכון, אז הם רצו להיכנס לקודש הקודשים, להגיע לכזאת מדרגה של, של, של לפני ולפנים. ואומר האור החיים שאפילו שהם ידעו שהם נכנסו, הם ידעו שיכול להיות שהם ימותו, הם ידעו שהם ימותו, בכל אופן הם רצו להיכנס יותר, והיה שווה להם המיסה, העיקר בשביל להתקרב לקודש ברוך הוא. לשון האור החיים זה רומז הקוסו ואפלו הסחיבס הצדיקים, שהגם שהם מרגישים במסוסו ולימים לאו מקורוי, מתקרב לקודש ברוך לדבקוס נאימוס הריבוס ידידוס חביבוס חשיקוס מתיקוס עד כלוס נפשו יסוד מהם. אתם רוצה לנות גם אותנו בדור שלנו, כל דור ודור לפי ערכוי. אם אנחנו רוצים לראות מה זה צדיק, מה זה אדם שצריך להצטער על מסוסוי, צריך ללמוד מהדברים האלה. אנחנו, מה שאנחנו ראינו כאן בארץ ישראל זה את הבקרויבי. לא היה כזה דבר לראות את רבי ישוע סתם מסתובב, הולך, תמיד זה היה עם הספרים, הגיע לארץ ישראל, כל הזמן ספרים בחדר, הייתי יושב איתו ביחד, ראיתי, זה היה, זה דבר לא מתפס אצלי, כל הזמן עם הספרים, הוא יוצא החוצה לקניות, אין סתם קניות, הכל ספרים, כשהוא מביא לי מתנות, לא היה, תמיד מביאים מתנות, מביאים, אצלו זה היה ספרים, לא היה משהו אחר, עם הספר, עם ישראל נקרא עם הספר, זה ראינו אצל רבי ישוע. לפני 50 שנה להיות באמריקה, להיות דבוק בתורה, זה לא היה דבר מובן מאליו. הסבא רבי יוסף אמר שתמיד עם ישראל צריכים אנשים שיושבים ולומדים, ושלח אותו ללמוד. הסבתא יונינו היא אמרה שהיא מאוד השקיעה בחינוך של הילדים ומאוד רצתה שהוא יישב וילמד, ובאמת זו הייתה תופעה לא נפוצה באמריקה של אז, לצאת וללמוד, להגיש את החיים לתוירו. זה היה התגלמות שלה בקרויבי. בגמורה כתוב שיש מדה אומר שנכנסו לקדש הקודושים, שתו יין נכנסו. לפי האור החיים יש מוקם לפרש שהיין, המטרה של היין זה שאדם יבטל את הרגוש של הגוף. כשנכנסו לקדש הקודושים זה היה מבחינת הספשטוס הגשמיוס. אצל רבי ישוע ראינו כשהוא היה מדבר בלימוד, כשהיה מדבר בדרשות, לא היה מי לדבר, הוא היה שקוע כל כך בתוירה, והוא היה כל כולו דבוק בסוגיה שהוא היה מדבר, וכולו מלא חיוס וגשמק מהדברים שהוא היה מדבר. הדבר השני, שכתוב שאתה בקרויבי הקודש, הקודש ברוך הוא מתקדש במיד הסדים בקרויבי. הדבר השני הזה גם ראינו אצל רבי ישוע, שבסוף חיוב הוא לא ראה נחס, כל ימי חיוב זה הכל היה תוירו, הוא לא שום דבר חוץ מתוירו, אבל גם בסוף חיוב בקלויס נפשוי כל השנים האחרונות הוא היה מסובו ביסור נדוילים. אבל גם בזמן, אומר אור החיים, אף לא הסחיבס הצדיקים, שהגם שהם מרגישים במסוסו נמנעו מקורוי לדבקוס, נאימוס, הריבוס, ידידוס, חביבוס, חשיקוס, מתיקוס, עד כניס נפשו יסומאל. כשרבי ישוע התעורר לפני שבועיים, כשהוא היה אחרי כמה שבועות של, שלוש שבועות של, 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 שהוא היה בלי הכרה, מחוסר הכרה, הדבר שהוא רצה זה להתפלל. התפלל, לא רק זה, גם השלומה, הוא צריך להשלים עוד תפילות משעברו, הוא רצה שיקריאו לו. לשבת ושיקריאו לו דברי תוירו. זה הביקורת הקודש. כתוב במיסה סנודו ואביו, כתוב שהקודש ברוך הוא אומר, ואחרי כן כל בית ישראל, איכו יש השריפה אשר שורף השם. ההבדל בין שריפו לבין שבירה או דבר אחר, זה ששבירה תמיד נשאר משהו. אבל שריפו זה כל הדבר נשרף, כולי כולי להשם. אין איזה דבר שנשאר אחר כך. כשקורה כזה קורבן אוילו לקודש ברוך הוא, כל ימי חיוב, גם כשקלויס נפשי מהם, גם לא אישי, לא, 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 שום, הכל הקודש ברוך הוא. אז החוי בו שלנו זה, וכל בית ישראל, איכו יש השריפה אשר שורף השם. שנכיר כמה אדם יכול להתערב לקודש ברוך הוא וצריך ללמוד מזה ובעזר השם הוא יהיה מליצוי ישר עלינו על כל המשפחה ובאיר ונזכה לביאס משיח צדקן ומוח השם ולקים כמו מה קלפון לבנה מה רומן
Never anticipated, but I have to say it has been, for my brother-in-law. Last night I was working on the Hesped. In the end, it became an integration between what I wanted to say and what my wife wanted to say. First of all, the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf, brings down that before a man goes out to marry a woman, the Gemara says he should first check out on the brothers. Chazal knew what they're talking about. Apparently it's an extremely accurate indication of where the husband, the man, and what kind of family he's getting involved with. Both Rabbi Yeshua and the Bottle of Chaim Rabbi Naftali, each in their own ways, they exemplified to me, close to 40 years ago, serious B'nai Torah, both yeshiva products, whose lives were built in the Golos of America, wherever they found themselves. They exemplified themselves. Yibolo L'chaim Reb Naftali is a professor, retired, he was a professor in university, and he said classes, shiurim, in Gemara to Jews who wanted to hear it at their university. He said shiurim to them as an option in Gemara. When we got married, I didn't really know who Reb Yeshua was. I realized that he had learned in yeshivas. He was in Tells for a while. He was in Chicago. He was in different places. The Maisi, he not very successfully tried to hide how much his vast knowledge of Torah was behind the wall of humility and humbleness. But anybody was in contact, as we've heard, anybody was in contact with him for a short period of time, he couldn't hide it. You would see it automatically. His unrelenting insistence to keep to the letter of the law of every mitzvah at all costs was preeminent in his life in America as well as during his visits to Eretz Yisrael, as we saw when he was here. Whether meant to find a minyan in the middle of the night, and he didn't own a car, and we didn't have a car to lend him, or to list my help to ask a shaila from a rov regarding Sfiras HaOmer for one who wouldn't be able to continue counting. The famous Shaila was Nogela Maisa in our family by somebody. And Rabbi Yeshua insisted that we should go to ask a shayla. If I'm not mistaken, was one of the Rishon Letzions. I remember going to the hotel where he was. I took him there, and he asked a shayla. My wife Meryl, Rabbi Yeshua's sister, was asked to put together several highlights of his life about Rabbi Yeshua, which depicts his life's ambitions and qualities. I'd like to take the opportunity to share it so we can all learn from them. Probably the most poignant of all the things that she remembers, several weeks ago, she went to visit him. For a week long, she stayed in the hospital almost constantly. She was with him on a Shabbos afternoon, but what's called, they extubated him. What extubated means that they had to try to switch him from taking him off the breathing machines for a few hours. When he came, he obviously couldn't talk before then. As soon as they did, he asked Miro, he wanted to know what time it was. Was it before Shkia? Talking about a man for weeks, he's locked into the bed, tied out with tubes, tied out with electrical devices. He lost consciousness, was resuscitated 3 times. He finally was able, he had still had a mask over his face, and we were like, totally. And he tried mouthing a word, and he couldn't say a word. He couldn't get the word out. One word, he couldn't get it out. Finally, with all his strength, he finally got the one word out. Shema. That was the word that he got out. He wanted her to say with him, Kriyat Shema. Miro said Kriyat Shema with him. He heard it, and he listened to every word. Miro pointed out it was probably the last word that he said in his life. We refer to him, Rabbi Yeshua, we refer to him as Josh. When Josh was a teenager in Cleveland, there was a boy in the community, a mentally challenged boy. He wasn't 100% there. He was either 8 or 9 years old. He used to go to neighbors, and he used to ask them for, in those days, a couple of pennies. You know, he wanted to buy something, candy, a toy. As we know, most people, when they face a child like this, they try to escape. One day he came to Josh's house, and Josh was home. And lo and behold, this boy found a listener. Josh sat there, the boy spoke, and Josh listened to him. He listened to him. He was nice to him. This boy, Maya, he finally got to the point where the boy is asking him for 10 cents. Amount of money. This boy Michael explained to Josh that he needed 10 cents. He wanted to buy a ball. Josh thought it over. He said, no problem. I have 10 cents. Yes, Michael, but how are you going to get to the store? You're only 8 years old. So Michael wasn't 100% there. He realized, and I guess it dawned on him, he's going to have a little problem over here. So what did Josh tell him? Come, I'll take you to the store. He got up, took his hand, walked him to the store, and he bought him the ball. This boy kept coming around, even after Josh went to Chicago to Yeshiva. The boy didn't realize it. He kept coming knocking on the door. Miro said they always told this boy when he came knocking on the door that Josh will be back ben azmanim. And kach havu. The boy showed up when Josh was home, ben hazmanim, and Josh would still sit down. Between the Torah, would still sit down and donate his precious time to this little boy to make him feel wanted. Everybody here, I'm sure, is aware of the fact that Josh was very, very much into the internet. When it first started, not today when it's nafutz, but when it first started, it was like unheard of. He initiated what was called Ask the Rabbi column. There was a non-Jewish German who used to correspond with him. I guess we write to him, he writes them back. Most of us would probably just try to go the other way. This man subsequently converted, and he went on to get smicha. Meryl said that Josh never told him his name, but she understood that he was in, that Josh was in contact with this man for many years later. Another one of his Ask the Rabbis fans was a woman who found herself in an unwanted pregnancy, and she was going to have chalila an abortion. Rabbi Yehoshua convinced her not to. In the end, she had the baby, and she added the middle name Yehoshua because the baby, because he saved the baby's life. The middle name is Yehoshua. Josh took tremendous pride that he was able to save this life of a Jew. He even sent them a present later, a toy animal for the, to the baby when he was born. As was mentioned several times tonight, Josh, being a Talmud of Rav Aaron, was one of the very early Shomer Yoshim. Today, it's not such a big deal. It's a big deal, but it's not such a big deal as it was then. It was like Chol of Yisrael. I remember when Josh was with us in America, and even when he came in the early days, he came to us in Yerushalayim. It was unbelievable. Josh would give us stories. He would go to a chasna and he couldn't eat. He would have some vegetables. He would check the chicken out. The chicken had breadcrumbs. Couldn't eat it. We asked him, how do you survive? So he laughed. He has a pocket edition of the dates when each thing is finished, when this and that. Yeah, Baruch Shem and Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanan, they take care of it for us. Happy-go-lucky. But I remember being in America asking him, how in the world can you live? He said, there's a certain store in New York, in Washington Heights, that had, it was Shem and Yosh, one store. So for part of the year they had it. Not every store. My wife remembers that when she was very young, she was 8 years young, she's 8 years younger than Rabbi Yehoshua. She remembers that since her parents were not very educated, but as was mentioned, they were moisen nefesh to send the boys to yeshiva, whenever she had a problem, chumash, novi, whatever was in school, she would ask, Josh, can you help me? Never said no. Always helped her out to finish her homework. Josh always participated in family simchas. Unfortunately, I have to say that it's sometimes a big decision to make to go to a simcha, especially if they, you know, you hear it's in Bnei Brak or it's somewhere else. Sometimes it's very difficult to go from place to place. Josh would travel great distances to participate in a bar mitzvah, a wedding, even a pidyon haben. He came to one of the, came to our Pidyon HaBen from America to Yerushalayim to participate in one. He did the same for funerals and Nichum Avelim. Josh didn't have a lot of money. He didn't ask for money. I imagine that a lot of people here probably remember the Greyhound bus lines. I used to travel it. Josh traveled the Greyhound bus lines for hours and hours and hours on the bus because he couldn't afford airfare. He traveled from New York to Chicago once by bus to Menachem a family because they lost a cousin. We're talking about hours and hours and hours round trip. My wife wrote down over here that Josh never went to bed. I'm made on it. Josh never went to bed. He fell asleep. He didn't know the musig of going to bed. We would tell him, we would mourn him, Josh, go to bed. The answer was, soon. Soon. We would go to bed. We'd find him on the table the next day. He was learning. He was falling asleep. That was Josh. For the people here who are familiar with the Netvot, as mentioned here already, we witness this live in Eretz Yisrael. Josh was beside himself. At the beginning of the week until Tuesday, it was very hard to talk to him. His mind was shakua in which Devar Torah he was going to say over the week. By Tuesday, if it wasn't worked out, it was impossible to talk to him. He was restless, he would be wandering around, he had sforim out, he had to work it out. One time, this goes back many, many years, still in the early advent of computers, our computer in the house went berserk. He was beside himself. He didn't know what to do. He was on a timetable. If I'm not mistaken, my wife didn't write it down, but if I remember correctly, on Thursday night, he actually went and he paid in a store to rent their computers in order to get out the Netvot on time. This Netvot, Yeshua told us more than one time. There's a pulpit rabbi in America that he knew used his Netvot every Shabbos as the basis of his drosha to his congregation. There's a family member who was not very firm, but Josh derived tremendous satisfaction in knowing that they read his network like a clock. Every week they read his network. He was happy the fact that he was able to send in a little bit of Torah even to these people. Josh was always a generous person. Every time he didn't have money, but every time he came to Israel to visit us, he brought the kids something small. Like my son Rabbi Yisrael Meir said, he bought him a small sefer. If he didn't bring a sefer, he would bring it the next day. He would buy it in one of the stores, he would bring it the next day. He would buy the girls, he would buy them something also to remember him by. Little things. That was Josh. Yeshua was seriously ill for the last several months. Min HaShemayim was nifted in the week of Parshas Achrei Mos Kedoshim, as was mentioned here. I thought to myself, as we all know, there's no accidents in the world. This Parsha symbolizes Rabbi Yeshua's life. The Parsha begins with Achrei Mos B'nei Aharon. The Sefri in Parshas Veschana teaches us that Talmidim were considered to be like Bonim. Rabbi Yeshua was one of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's Zecher Tzadik V'Kol Shevrocha, one of his Talmidei Mufokim. For all the years that I remember him, Rav Aaron's Mesoris, as was mentioned to Rabbi Yeshua, was constant. It was Sholem. Yeshua didn't move if it didn't fall into Rav Aaron's teachings. He didn't move. In one aspect, we may truly say that the Torah itself is weeping over the passing of one of Rav Aaron's disciples as a son. Just a few weeks before he was nifter, in consultation with Rabbi Yeshua's Rabbonim, Das Torah, the family made a key decision to buy a kever without his knowledge, just within a few steps from the holy kever of Rav Aaron. The family hoped that the merit of purchasing the kever would be an added schus to help him recover from his critical situation, his critical condition. Unfortunately, he didn't recover from it. But the family is consoled, not only in the thought that the brother would be buried here in Eretz Yisrael, which was always dear to Rabbi Yeshua's heart, as was mentioned, but near his beloved Rav as well, just several steps away. On behalf of our families, we deeply thank and appreciate the untiring efforts of Eli Lazovsky. This young man was very close to Rabbi Yeshua. And during the last few months, he had a shuttle between taking care of his elderly aunt, who's over 100, in Chicago, and Rabbi Yeshua in New York. Due to the impossibility for either of our two families
to be with Rabbi Yeshua during his last few critical months. Eli took it upon himself to be with Rabbi Yeshua literally day by day. My wife was getting reports day by day from him. He was in constant touch with the doctors and nurses and in turn with our families. May Hashem bless you and repay him for all his mitzvos nefesh. We also wish to personally thank the Rosh Yeshivas of Yeshiva University for granting him the unusual honor of allowing his Levaya to take place there. My wife received a call from the Rav in charge of the graduate school. And the message given over to her was, this is not done in YU. Levayas are not held in YU for the graduate students. It's not done. Rabbi Yeshua always spoke highly of the yeshiva, and we know how much of his life he dedicated to it. The fact that it was broadcast worldwide and hundreds of people watched it was a kiddush Hashem for the Torah world to learn from him and emulate his qualities. We ask mechila from you, Rabbi Yeshua, if we ever didn't respect you enough or treat you properly during all the years we merited to be together, as short as they were. We ask you to be a Melech Yosher on behalf of your sisters, our family, all of us, your brother Naftali's family, dear Eli, and Klal Yisrael as well. Bila mothers lenetzach, umocha, shem, elikib, dimo, miyal kopone. I'd like to ask for Baruch Kelman, please say Kaddish.
קביו בן מעלה ללוי מריס תקל בשלושו דבורים ונתו בולידה ורודה מאין בוסו ולא נתו הילך ולפני מיעתו עושים די תן דין וחשבוין מאין בוסו ודיבוס וכלו נתו הילך למקוים אופורים ומסוליו ולפני מיעתו עושים די תן דין וחשבוין לפני מלך מלכי המלוך עם הקודש ברוך הוא והוא רח ומחפר ובין ולא יאשרית וירמו לא שיבה פוי ולא יאיר כל חמוסוי קדיש Amen. Amen. מסע הלוויה יוצא להר הזיתים, יש אוטובוס לקהל המלווים, לא לנסוע עם רכבים פרטיים, רק באוטובוס. האוטובוס יחזור לפה, וכל אחד ייקח את הרכב שלו. בבקשה רבו ישי, הטלפונים וה... של מי הטלפון? של מי הטלפון? הטלפון של מי?